Hi, I'm Beth Massey, and I'm here with Joe Binder, a program manager on the Light Switch team. How's it going, Joe?
Great. It's been a fun week.
Cool.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and how'd you get to Microsoft and onto the Light Switch team?
Sure. So I used to be a kernel developer before joining Microsoft, and
not popcorn kernel.
Not popcorn. Probably would have been more exciting.
Like OS kernel.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then I joined the Visual Basic team as a program manager. And I've been working on...
I remember
on,
you from there.
Yeah, it's been a while. But we've been working on Light Switch in the background here, kind of incognito for a while.
Yeah, I know, huh? So how exciting has it been this week?
It's been crazy. It's been really great to talk to people and understand how they see Light Switch and how they see themselves using it. It's been really fun.
Cool. So today we're going to talk about what, how to extend or what is architecture, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, you know, we've gotten a lot of questions, understandably, about from professional developers asking, can I trust this thing?
Okay.
Where's the ceiling? And we'll talk a little bit about that today.
So just to give a good intro, if you haven't seen the intro video to the keynote or whatever, what is Light Switch?
Light Switch is the easiest way to build an application for the cloud or for a database.
Okay, so it's aimed at business application.
Yeah.
Okay, data-centric, database style.
That's right.
Forms over data type stuff.
Yep, forms okay. over data with business logic. That's okay. Really our sweet spot.
Cool, so why don't we jump in?
Great. So there are a few main points that we like to talk about in terms of the Light Switch development experience.
Okay.
We start, describe your data, build some simple screens. And from there, it's just a process of iterative refinement.
Okay.
So add some business logic, create some more sophisticated UI, add some custom queries. And it's just kind of this iterative process of starting with good defaults and customizing it to meet whatever your requirement is.
Mm-hmm.
We've got this last pillar that we're really going to talk about today, which is extending the Light Switch application to include capabilities that are very specific to a particular app.
Like, say, I don't like the controls here, or...
Right. Okay. You don't like the UI we create for you? You can create your own with Silverlight.
Cool.
You need to connect to a database or a data source that we don't support? You can connect to it with Visual Studio Professional or, you know, some of the existing technologies.
Okay, so can we maybe get a little overview of the architecture of how...
Sure.
Because like, it's really... Light Switch, to me, I feel like it's just an application framework on top of the .NET framework.
Yeah, that's right. So we really look at ourselves as just a means of enabling the technologies that are already out there, that people are already using to build applications today.
Okay.
And we just look at, you know, how are people building these apps, these end-tier forms over data apps, and we've created a tool around those technologies and those patterns just to make it easier.
Cool. I have kind of a background in app framework, so I'm pretty excited.
That's what
it.
I hear, yeah. Cool. So this is the basic architecture or topology of all Light Switch applications. Client tier, middle tier, and your data access. And kind of call this out, we do support what's called a two-tier deployment, but actually all Light Switch applications are always three-tier.
Okay, and logically three-tier all times.
Correct, okay. Yeah. So there's always a separation between the middle tier and the client tier. We just give you different ways of deploying that.
Cool.
So under the hood, we've got on the client tier, got Silverlight 4.0, and we can host that in the browser or on the desktop. So, you know, you want it to show up in the start menu, your users assume that it's just a regular desktop.
So the out-of-browser capabilities.
That's right.
Cool.
Yep. So Silverlight 4 has great out-of-browser support, and we're just using that directly.
Sweet.
And all of the, you know, sort of data chat over the wire is done via RIA services.
Okay.
So we'll talk today a little bit about how you can plug in your own RIA services and, you know, just again, using existing technology. I think we have a habit of creating new data stacks,
right.
So we avoided that to the greatest extent possible.
So the middle tier, what is that using, Nitty Framework?
Yeah, so okay. we've got IIS7 as okay. kind of the hosting environment for the middle tier.
Okay.
Running ASP.NET environment, so pretty much those writing, you know, middle tier today with ASP.NET will be very familiar with the environment.
Okay.
And we are using the Nitty Framework to interact with the underlying data sources as well.
Okay. Gotcha. That makes sense. So your data access layer is really just your data source.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, in the box, we do provide support for anything that has an Nitty Framework provider.
Okay.
Azure and SharePoint. And I'll show you today, you know, how we can extend that list to fit your legacy mainframe, your web services, and all the stuff that we don't support out of the box.
So the idea is to create a RIA service wrapper around those things. Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
Cool. All right, so why don't we get into some meaty demo here?
Great. So I'll give you the really quick overview of Lightswitch.
Okay.
We've got some data defined here, so we've got some appointments and some patients and some doctors and some relationships between them.
Okay.
I've already gone ahead and defined that data, and now I'm just going to build some simple screens. So one of the things you'll see here is just we give you predefined templates for common UI. This list is extensible, so you can add more to this list if you have common UI patterns and that sort of stuff. But let's say we have search, you know, maybe we want to search our patients. We can just go ahead and add that. And maybe we want to create a special screen just to add new patients. So somebody calls up, we want to have, you know, a single screen for that.
Okay.
And we'll also create one to create new appointments. So after a patient calls up, probably want to create an appointment. And we'll go ahead and do that. We'll just go ahead and run the application, see what we get.
Okay. So all you did before this is just define the entities. So.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And basically the way Lightswitch works is the more you tell us about your data, the better UI you'll get.
Okay.
And the better validation rules we can infer.
Okay.
So you can, for example, if you attach to an existing data source, you can tell us that a particular field is a phone number, and then we'll format it like a phone number or format it like an email address.
Cool.
So out of the box, we kind of get this built-in search capability, so we can search for Jay. We can click on Jay's results. We get a screen generated for us to view the details or view the search result.
Now, you just kind of just created a screen that's selecting everything, or is it paging?
It's paging, yeah. So I don't have a lot of data in the database, but if we did, you'd see at the bottom here, you know, page one of whatever.
How many is a page? Do you get to define that?
Yeah, so I'll show you how to do that. You can customize all that.
Set a filter too if you need to.
Yep.
Okay, cool. So you're not doing select star.
That's no, it. No
best
select
practice
star.
Best practice not to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You know, I think we've definitely just looked at a lot of applications that are in this space today.
Right.
And
never do that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, I think that's been kind of the problem is that sometimes easy comes at the expense of scalable and maintainable. And that's really been a design tenet not to do that.
Okay, that's good. Okay, cool. So we've got a couple screens here. We're going to hook them up together.
Yeah, so we've got our create new patient screen here.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just create a way to add a new patient and then jump right to the new appointment screen.
Okay.
All right. And we'll
so sort of a screen workflow, very typical, right?
Yeah,
you know, after
yeah.
After search, you want to pass the ID and edit the details type of stuff.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
And if you notice, we do that for you by default. Uh-huh. In this case, I want some very specific workflow.
Okay, cool.
And, you know, one of the things we were talking about earlier is these best practices. Well, this is a great example of code that I'm going to write on the client tier.
Okay.
You'll see when we write some validation that it's not going to be on the client tier. It's going to be in a specific place that, and it's going to run on the server.
On the middle tier.
Yeah, on the middle tier. And we actually run it on the client as well to get that interactive experience for the user.
Okay.
So we've got our new appointment screen. And on the left here is essentially the view model for the screen. So this is all the data that's being displayed here. And we make a pretty clean separation between the data
mm-hmm.
and the user interface, kind of MVVM style, you know,
model
screen.
View model.
That's
okay, so you're using really good, you know, proven patterns for UI separation of concerns. That's
yeah, and you'll see one, you know, we'll kind of prove that when we build a Silverlight control that totally replaces the UI and we'll get all the same business logic running without changing any code.
Cool, that's very cool. All right.
All right, so we've got our appointment property. Mm-hmm. If we go ahead and look at the code for this screen, you'll see that when the, scroll over here so you can see it, when the screen is created, we give you an event. This is an event on the data. So rather than having a bunch of UI-related events that you're writing code against,
mm-hmm.
we're actually telling you when the data context is initialized. If you need to call any queries here, you can do that.
Okay.
So you're not going to see in
Lightswitch. So you're not working with the view directly.
Yeah.
You're just working with the model. Okay.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
And what we've got here is, you know, some basic logic for save. So save just works out of the box, but you can fully override it with whatever logic you want. In this case, I don't really want the logic that we do by default, which is to launch another screen. So I'm just going to comment that out. And now I will jump back and add a parameter. So we'll pass in the patient ID that we're going to use for this appointment.
Okay.
So we'll add a model item. And in this case, it's just going to be the ID of the patient. And over here on the right, there are usually a number of properties which you probably care about. In this case, we can mark this thing as a parameter. And then we'll go ahead and generate a method to launch the screen and pass in the parameter.
Okay.
All right, so once we've done that, we're going to go ahead and load, query the middle tier in the server for the patient with that ID.
Okay.
So we'll do that in the loaded event for the screen.
Okay.
DB users will be pretty familiar with this pattern. There's the usual drop down with all the events.
So that's a good point. So you're using the regular VB and C sharp editors here. So whatever language you're most familiar with, you're going to get those editors, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, and we've really tried to tailor the experience to that particular language. So C-sharp users will find the same kind of coding patterns that they would expect in VB, you know, like the drop-down.
Okay.
Very familiar pattern.
Cool.
All right, so what I'm going to do is define a private variable here to tell me if the patient has been initialized. And I'm sort of ornery, so I always initialize my variables. And if the patient has not been initialized, then we will go ahead and query it from the server.
Okay.
And go ahead and set this true, and we're done. So the way I'm going to do this is actually kind of a good example of some of the more advanced capabilities in data model that's available to the screen.
Okay.
So as you might expect, we'll give you a strongly typed property for anything that you've added to the view model of the screen. So we have an appointment property. There it is. We can say appointment and get access to all the,
I see.
The properties there.
Okay.
Yep. So once we're on here and we're creating the navigation property for the patient, which is a related entity, and we can go ahead and get that. And then we can use this thing called the data workspace, which is basically an in-memory graph of all the data on the screen.
Okay. So a data workspace is related per screen, and that's all the entities that are on the screen?
That's right. Okay. So the data workspace, each screen has its own data workspace, and any data that's loaded or changed is tracked in that data,
in the
workspace.
Data workspace. And so when you save, any updates that you make when you save, that's a database transaction?
Correct.
Okay. Got
yep.
It.
Yeah. Right. So what will happen is we'll submit any changes in the data workspace, just the changes. And then you get access, we rehydrate the data workspace on the middle tier so you can perform business logic based on what's changed.
That's cool. Okay, gotcha.
All right, so I'm just going to give you a quick example of how to query using the data workspace. So each data workspace has a strongly typed property for the data sources. Okay. So if we had a lot of data sources, we'd separate them out here.
Okay.
And in this case, there's just a built-in query we create to give me a single patient with a given ID. So there's our patient ID.
Okay.
And that's going to return a single patient and set it equal to this property.
So really down the what's happening at its core level is Entity Framework's issuing a select where ID blah.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it you can follow it all the way down the chain, you know, and look at what's on the wire, and you'll see very familiar stuff if you wrote the code yourself.
So it always helped me when I was doing database, you know, applications, to look at the SQL statements going and like profile at the same time. You'll still see all that happen and everything because Entity Framework's just kind of before that, right?
Right. So any tools that you're using to monitor the database in and out is still there.
It's all the same. Cool.
Yeah, and that's actually brings me to another kind of point that's worth noting. When we created this application, Lightswitch just creates a SQL Express instance for us.
Okay.
And we can choose to deploy that database wherever we want. Mm-hmm. So one of the problems, you know, that a lot of people ask about is like, well, you're using SQL Express. What happens if I have a staged server environment? And all you have to do is during deployment tell us where you want to put the database, and we know how to deploy it to SQL Server.
Cool. And then, if you already have a database, you can just use an existing data source and build app over that.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha. Cool. All right. So now we've got our kind of parameterized screen here.
Yeah. So now we're just going to go back to the create new patient screen and
pass it
over. So we'll add a button to do that. And this little thing up here just means that it's going to be added to the ribbon of the screen, that sort of action bar at the top. And you'll see that there are basically two entry points here in code, can execute and execute. If you're familiar with Silverlight, those probably look pretty familiar to you.
So that's kind of like the commanding pattern.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is just kind of a way of sort of pre-wiring all of that plumbing to get the, you know, iCommand interfaces wired up. And
that's awesome.
Yeah,
you don't have to do it yourself.
Right, yeah. So no sort of gnarliness for that. And then the other great thing is that if you notice, we're actually creating the command target for you as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is a method. And if I'm going to author a custom control, I can have a button that just uses this method as its target.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because it's in the actual model, we can just set it as the target.
Cool.
All right. So in this case, we're going to author some execute code. And what I want to do here is I will go and open up that other screen. So we'll just say application dot, you know, most client platforms have this notion of an application, ASP.NET, WinForms, WPF. So we have the same. And you'll see that there's predefined methods for all the screens.
Cool.
And then all I need to do is pass in the patient property ID. Okay, so one thing that would be, there's a bug here. Can you see the bug so far?
Well, when you save, you're closing the screen before you open the new appointment.
So
we
got to get rid of that.
Okay.
Again, you know, just a built-in behavior, we can totally get rid of it if we don't want it. And the other thing is, if we try and query the server for this patient before we've actually created it and saved it, it's not going to be there.
Right.
So I actually don't want to enable that button until we've saved it. So what I'll do is author some can execute logic. And so far, we've looked at the view model for the screen, and it's been pretty basic,
mm-hmm.
you know, some basic properties. All of the underlying state of the data is available via the API as well.
Okay, good.
So we can say if the entity state, let's say it hasn't been saved yet, so let's say the patient property, there's a details node on almost all of our API members.
Okay.
And this gives you kind of the meta state for a particular data item, whether you're on the middle tier or the client. And you'll see a lot of things you might recognize here. So what's its entity state? Are there any modeled methods hanging off of it?
Okay. Very entity framework-like.
Yes, it's very entity framework-like. It's kind of, you know, one of the things that we often wrestle with is that we have this really powerful technology stack underneath us.
Yeah.
And so we didn't attempt to hide any of those details. They're just sort of progressively disclosed. You know,
right.
If you're in an environment where you really need to know this kind of information, it's there.
Cool. Very cool.
All right. So if the item has not been added, or actually mm-hmm. let's change this logic. Let's say that it's added, then we will set the result equal to false. Otherwise, we'll set it to true.
Okay.
So what we should see happen when we run this code is our little button there should be disabled until we've actually saved the patient. Do you mind if we add you to the database?
No, we can go ahead.
All right, very good.
As long as I'm not a mental patient.
It's an eye doctor, so
all right.
No problem.
I have bad eyesight, so that works.
All right, so Vlad Beth.
Call me anytime.
Yes, we're disclosing your phone number to everyone. And
so you marked those bolds are required fields then,
right?
Because you marked those required in the entity.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And you know, we do provide built-in validation for all the fields that you tell us. So if you tell us that something is an email address, then we'll validate as an email. So if we just put in some random stuff, you know, you just get built-in validation there. You can, we'll actually take you to and scroll you to the item.
That's nice. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so it's just kind of built-in. And
so these are like lookup tables, huh?
Right, yeah, okay. So these are just our lookup tables. I'm not going to go into it today, but we can customize how this list is populated. You know, it's pretty common to not show all available choices. There's
right.
usually some filtered lists. So,
okay, gotcha.
Yeah. All right, so we've got our item. Now we just need to save it.
And the button's disabled.
The button's disabled.
And now it's enabled.
Now it's enabled.
Noted.
Now we can click on it. There you are. You're pre-selected.
Cool, so it's showing my first name and last name and patient, and we didn't specify that.
How's yeah, that? So we're pretty smart, but we're not quite that smart.
Okay.
So I did a little bit of work right before we started to give LightSwitch a little more information about how I wanted to display this patient by default.
Okay.
So one of the things that you can do is you can go ahead and add a calculated field to any data table.
That means it's just in your model, not in the data source.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's not persisted. We actually will calculate this on the middle tier and on the client for performance reasons. So what I've added here, now this would typically be like an order total or something, but what I wanted here was a just friendlier display name mm-hmm. for the patient. So if we look at the code for this, you'll see that there's a compute method.
I see.
And all it's doing is taking string.format, first name and last name.
Okay.
Then, what I did was, I just told LightSwitch that for this entity, the default summary field, think of it as kind of the toString from mm-hmm. the .NET world, should be the summary field.
Gotcha.
Then anywhere that we don't specify how we want this patient displayed, we'll just use this field.
Cool. So summary property really is toString on the entity.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. We can also add any validation here if we wanted to say that, you know, maybe date added is needs to be greater than date updated. That kind of business rule, again, if you just look at this write code button here, you'll see that there's...
Gotcha. Validate. Cool.
Yep.
So no matter what screen you put it on, that's the behavior.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep. And this is really, you notice we were talking about best practices. You won't see a place to add validation at the screen level. Typically, if you're adding validation, the default is always to put it on the entity itself.
Okay.
All right. So that's kind of a quick overview of the API.
Okay.
Let's get into some custom controls.
Yeah, what if I don't like how that screen looks?
I can't believe you don't like that screen.
I don't know. It was kind of boring.
Yeah, all right. All right. Well, let's create another screen. I'm sure it'll just dazzle you.
Okay.
So here we've got, you'll see when you create a screen, we can create some additional information on the screen. So in this case, a patient has appointments. So if we wanted to display the appointments with the patient, we could just check that off and it'll generate all the data binding
okay,
to
cool.
do that sort of master details kind of thing.
Cool.
In this case, we're not going to do that though. We've got a single list now. So this basically tells us that there's a list on the screen that's bound to this, again, this model item, the patient collection,
mm-hmm.
which has a selected item. And on the selected item, there's all the properties from the patient. And when I, you know, move through the list, the selected item would be displayed over here
okay.
on the right-hand side. What we're going to do is replace that with a list that we built from scratch.
So you just hit delete.
Just hit delete, and
okay.
it all goes away.
Okay.
In fact, you know...
So this is a screen designer, really, and it's like a container ship view or a hierarchical view of controls on your screen.
That's right.
Instead of some like the WinForms, you would be more used to like laying everything out explicitly. This is kind of more like a tree.
That's right.
Okay.
I guess it's more similar to maybe the document outline or something from WinForms or WPF.
Okay, WPF,
or,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So as you see, there's kind of a hierarchy here. We can add things to the screen. In this case, we're going to add our custom control that we're going to create, and we're just going to stick it on that right column.
Okay.
So, we're in Visual Studio Professional. We can create Silverlight controls.
Well, that's a good question, actually. So, you're in Visual Studio Pro, but you have LightSwitch templates.
Yeah, yeah. Let's take a look at that.
Okay. So LightSwitch will be its own product, and then if you have Pro, you get it. As well.
Correct.
Right? Okay,
yep.
Gotcha.
And you'll just see it show up as a a new...
New project type.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yep. All right. Okay. So, and we didn't talk about this. I'm obviously using VB today. We do support C# as well.
Okay.
And as a shout out to the C# friends, we'll create a user control in C#.
Sounds good.
So there's our class library. Just a plain old vanilla Silverlight class library.
Okay.
So no special light switch stuff here.
You could be using it in other applications or whatever.
Yeah, totally. Okay. All right, so we've got our library there, and we're just going to add a user control. There's no hard requirement that it has to be a user control. That's just kind of what I like to use.
Okay. Now, you could design this in Blend, then, if you were really good at that.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
I'm not, but...
yes. I'm relatively good at Blend. We could certainly jump out there. I think for speed, we'll stick it in here.
Let's just do something simple.
Sure.
Show how it integrates.
So what I want to do on this user control is just add a list box.
Okay.
And I'm going to put the list box on the screen next to the list box that's already there so we can see how the two interplay with the view model.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to use, since we have kind of limited screen real estate here, I'm just going to type it from scratch.
Okay.
And I unfortunately learned WPF and Silverlight before there was strong designer support, so my inclination is unfortunately to type it randomly first. All right, so what we need here is to set the item source, and because, as I mentioned before, there's a view model underneath that screen, mm-hmm. we can bind directly to it.
Okay.
So in order to do that, we'll just look at our screen here, see that there's a patient collection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I want to reuse this control on many screens, I would leave it like this. And then when I add the control, I'd specify the data binding in light switch.
Gotcha.
If I'm creating a control just for this particular screen, then it's usually easier to specify the binding explicitly.
That way you can just like select it and on the other side you don't have to specify anything.
That's right, okay. Yeah. So what I'll do here is I type screen dot, and that tells me that no matter where I put this thing on the screen, I'm going to get the data context from the root of the screen.
Okay.
So, over here we've got a patient collection, so I'm just going to say patient collection. And then, if we wanted to keep the selected item in sync with the other list that's on the screen, and this would be useful if, let's say I've got some selection changed mm-hmm. events in my code, mm-hmm. because that code is not written against the list box, it's written against the view model,
okay.
we need to keep the two in sync.
Gotcha. So is that like a collection view that's really going on then?
That's right, okay. Yeah. There's just a plain Rhea collection view mm-hmm. that we're using under the hood. And you can actually get full access to that collection view if you want
as well.
Okay, cool. And I'll show you how to get access to some of the properties that would be on a collection view when we jump back. So there's our selected item, and we'll just set this equal to two-way data binding.
So it syncs.
Yep. Okay. And now we'll go ahead and build that and jump back to our designer here. So one of the things you were asking about before is, you know,
a little bug here.
I forgot my...
you've got your...
In bracket.
In bracket right there, yeah. There you go.
Beautiful.
Okay. Much better.
Yeah, maybe I should be using the design. It's gotten so much better in this. It's really great. I mean, I think I save probably an hour a day just using the designer.
Yeah, the designers are much better in 2010.
All right, so...
Okay, so we got that done.
Yeah, you were asking before, just as an aside, about... the configuration of that collection view, so if I want to change the page size, all
cool.
that stuff is available when I just select the item over here.
Okay, cool.
All right, so let's add our custom control, and let's see here. We'll add a new group, and insert our custom control here. So since this is a standard Visual Studio solution, we can just create a project-to-project reference to our class library.
Okay, cool.
Cool. So there's our class library.
Mm-hmm.
And now if we just drill in, we'll see that, you know, we'll show you all the controls and framework elements that are in that assembly.
Cool.
Now before, remember I was telling you about setting the binding on the screen or mm-hmm. in your control. So if we didn't set a data binding when we authored the control, we could just go ahead and set it here. So I could say, oh, you know, I actually just want to set the binding to the patient collection. Maybe in another screen, I'd have another collection.
That makes sense. And so you would just leave binding then empty after that.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
Got it.
It's kind of standard Silverlight data binding syntax. All right. So we'll go ahead and add that.
Okay.
And let's just run this and see what happens.
Yeah. Your beautiful list.
It's going to be gorgeous. So what we should see is, you know, two lists basically in sync with one another.
One is pre-built in out of the box, and one is ours.
Yep. So we'll call up that screen.
There it is.
And here's our two
okay.
screens
so it's moving.
Kept in sync.
That's the collection view. They're both bound to the same thing.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep. So if we go ahead and add an item, again, this is just built-in UI. So we'll add another patient. You'll see that in this case, there's some validation. We have a little bug with painting, but item is there. It's just really small.
Okay. Gotcha.
We'll delete that.
All right.
So that's basically it. And then there's one other thing I haven't shown you yet, but it's actually kind of useful to use here, is that in this case, we added a label by default to this control. It looks kind of silly with the label.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and get rid of that. And what we're doing now is designing the screen while the screen's actually running.
And now you can actually see it too, right? So it's a little more visual here.
Yeah, I find most of the time when I'm kind of tweaking the UI, this is the mode I'm using.
Yeah.
It's just a lot easier to see what's going on. So in this case, you'll see there's some properties here if I wanted to resize it. In this case, I just want to get rid of that label.
Okay.
See it immediately and save it.
Okay.
Now the cool thing is that if I go back to Visual Studio, my change is going to be there.
Okay.
And actually, it's on the undo stack as well. So if I made a mistake, I could just go back and undo it in Visual
Studio.
That's way
cool, because I will need that.
I know my control Z key is pretty worn out.
Could you have added the custom control in customized screen and done the add reference and all that, or do you have to be in the designer?
You have to be in the Visual Studio because...
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, we're actually manipulating references and all that kind of stuff.
But can you add additional controls that are already pre-built in?
Yeah, so any control that's already there, you could go ahead and add. So, you know, we could go ahead and say that...
Because I saw the add button.
Yeah, so we could add, you know, let's say we want to add the selected item in there.
Okay.
Now we've got all of our
details
under there.
Oh, that's nice.
So, there we go.
Okay, cool.
As we select stuff.
All right. Sweet, makes sense. So now that's customizing controls, all right? What about themes and skins? And that
sure,
sort of
yeah.
stuff? You can do that too, right?
You can totally do that.
Okay.
So one of the things you'll see is it's a little hard to find right now, but if you click on the properties node, again, kind of most Visual Studio users would be familiar with the kind of properties or my project node. In here, you'll see extensions. So
okay.
if you let's say we wanted to change the shell. Well, I happen to have another shell installed on my machine, so we could just go ahead and install that right now. And then...
So, our partners are creating these things?
Yeah, our partners, ecosystem, you know...
But you could, too, if you wanted?
Absolutely.
Okay,
there's nothing special about this. Now, if we rerun our application, we'll see it's totally
different.
Yeah, totally different look and feel for the app. And this, again, you know, we're talking about that layering.
Right.
And this is part of that, is that we have this awesome technology underlying the application, and it's pretty easy to take advantage
that
of.
That's totally different.
Yeah. So, just, you know, didn't have to write any code or do anything wonky to change this around. It's totally different visual appearance.
Awesome. And that's touch, too, if we had a touch computer.
Yeah, if we had a touch, this shell is actually made for touch-based
That's
interfaces.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
So, you know,
you'll be able to download this from, VS Gallery.
VS Gallery.
Extension Manager will be inside of LightSwitch. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, inside LightSwitch, you just go to Tools, Extension Manager, and you'll see...
There it is.
There you go.
There's installed ones, and there's online gallery. Awesome. I love it.
Yep.
Okay, so this is all, customizing the UI, which is totally critical, but what about, this is a business app, what about, data sources that you don't plan on, out of the box? Well, mainframes and file-based systems, things like that, you're going to need to, write your own data source, right?
Yeah, two options. One of the things that's really cool, because we're built using the Entity Framework, anybody who has an Entity Framework provider, you just install it and go.
Okay.
So I've got an Entity Framework provider installed from N Software. They make a lot of really cool Entity Framework providers these days.
So we have it for Oracle. We have SQL, obviously, but Oracle, I know MySQL has a provider,
yeah,
I think,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So
This is an RSS bus EF provider. Okay.
Yep. So RSS bus makes an EF provider for QuickBooks.
Cool.
We could just click OK, and then you'll see that it gives us all the configuration information that we need to talk to QuickBooks.
Wow. So you could really like have some pretty cool partners making data source, you know, extending their own data sources like QuickBooks. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. You know, I was just walking around at VS Live here in Redmond recently, and there are a lot of really cool providers out there.
That's cool.
It's becoming a pretty popular component market.
Okay, so what if you have your own, like, maybe you even have an enterprise service that you need to talk to?
Yeah, or, you know, you already have your data access layer that's corporate, you know, sort of already defined. In that case, all we need to do is wrap that data service in a RIA service if it's not already. And, you know, RIA service, WCF service, same thing.
Okay.
And let's go do one of those now.
Okay, cool.
So we'll add another project to our solution. And I'm just going to search for RIA, my favorite feature. I love the search utility. We'll go ahead and add that in. So it creates all the projects that we need.
Okay.
And all we need to do now is add that domain service definition, which is basically going to be the endpoint for the service and any types that we want to expose over the surface.
Okay, so let's just create something simple.
Sure, yeah. So what we can do is there's some UI built into Visual Studio that helps us do that, kind of sets up all the references and stuff. So
yeah, domain service class, yeah.
And this is just kind of one interesting side note. We're not going to talk about authentication and authorization. RIA already has kind of a placeholder for that, already built into all the LightSwitch applications. So we don't need to do anything like that, just as an aside.
Okay, cool.
So we'll go ahead and add our service. And if we had some predefined types, we could just use them here. We don't have anything that would work. So what I'm going to do now is I've got some snippets in the toolbox just to go ahead and create some simple data structures.
Okay.
And then we'll return those from the surface. So here's our data type. We'll go ahead and add that. In this case, it's a patient. Got a patient ID, first name, and we've marked the key field as the patient ID.
Okay.
And then we'll create a little factory class to create some of these things.
So we're just going to create some in memory here?
Yeah, So, you know,
theoretically, those would be like your backing store you would be communicating with or whatever. Okay.
You'd be, so web service, you'd be adding a service reference here, you know, doing whatever you need to do there.
Okay.
So now all we need to do is figure out which entry points we want to provide into this underlying data. So we can add, in this case, I'm just going to add a single method to query the service. Go ahead and add that. And all it's going to do is return an enumerable of our type.
Let's make that here.
There we go. So all it does is return all the patients.
Okay.
And we've marked this.
It's just a list.
It's just a list. And we've marked this as kind of the default query entry point for the service.
Okay.
So once we've done that, we'll go ahead and save everything and then build it. And once it's finished building, we're just going to add a reference to this and attach to it within LightSwitch.
Okay.
So real similar experience to using the custom control. All we do is go to the data sources node, say add data source. There's our RIA service. All right. So what it did was it went and it found the services that were available in the reference assemblies.
Okay.
We haven't added a reference to our new service yet.
Okay.
So there it is. We'll just add a project reference to that.
Is that the right one? Okay. Okay, cool.
Cool. So there's our custom domain service.
Mm-hmm.
And once we've attached to it, we can choose which entities. In this case, we just have the one, but I can see what's there.
That's what we created.
Yep.
Okay.
So we'll choose that one. Type finish. And this warning box, I think all warning boxes are a little scary, but this one's actually telling us something that's interesting from an architecture standpoint, which is that we created this service, and what LightSwitch is going to do is take that service and host it in the pre-built middle tier that we have.
Okay.
So all the kind of plumbing and deployment that's typically required for building a service which is kind of baked into the experience.
Okay, interesting.
So what this dialogue is just telling us is that, hey, you built a service, we're going to expose it on the middle tier. If you don't want that, then there's some attributes you need to set.
I see, okay.
So we'll go ahead and add that in, and you'll see that here's our entity, and you know, we could go ahead and add any validation here if we wanted. We could add calculated fields. The only thing we can't do is change the fundamental shape of the data.
Okay.
Because that's obviously defined in the service. We have no control over that.
Right. Okay.
All right. So let's create another simple screen for this. So we'll create a listing details screen for our custom patients. And, you know, as we've gone through this process, one thing I think that's useful to point out is we haven't actually gotten rid of anything.
Right.
We've added a lot to the app to sort of meet these very specific needs, but we haven't had to get rid of anything. We didn't have to modify any generated code or anything like that.
Right.
All right, so let's fire this up here, and you'll see that there are three mock data entities that we returned. And one of the other things that's kind of cool is that we notice that this is there's only a query method exposed on the service.
Right.
So there's no way to update it. And if there was an update method defined, then we would go ahead and add the add update delete UI for you.
Gotcha. So you just need to define that on the service, and it automatically picks up and the UI reacts. That's awesome.
So let's go ahead and just make sure everything's still working here. So we'll search for patient 2. And there we are. So everything still works. Again, it's that layering that enables us to replace or add certain components to the app without having to replace everything in the app.
That's pretty amazing, actually. I'm really going to start digging into this now.
Good. Well, I hope it's fun, and I hope that, you know...
It seems like there's a lot of extensibility points here, so which we're going to need, right? I mean, an application framework can't do everything. As long as it's extensible, though, it will eventually, because people can customize it themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think from the get-go, we've really kind of embraced the fact that every application has very specific needs.
Cool.
We're going to try and support everything that we possibly can out of the box, but we recognize that there will be requirements we can't support out of the box.
So right.
These types of features are really designed to enable those, you know, really custom scenarios.
So the key takeaways for me here is the Lightswitch application framework is built on, you know, in three-tier design using Silverlight 4, Rhea services, Entity Framework, all the stuff that's already in the .NET framework that we're using now to build these applications, right? And it's extensible so that, you know, you're not going to hit a glass ceiling. You're not going to end up with this blue and white form. Everybody's going to have a blue and white form, right?
Yeah.
So the idea is that, you know, us professional developers will be able to create controls and skins and that sort of stuff for the Lightswitch developers.
That's right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun. I can't wait to get started.
Yeah. We're very excited to have everybody dig in and start giving us some feedback and building some apps with it.
So the beta will be available August 23rd from the Developer Center, msdn.com/lightswitch. Joe, thank you so much for walking me through this and teaching us how to extend it. I'm so excited.
Well, we can't wait to have you try it.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe.
All right. Thanks a lot.